He raised his glass. We must remember the circumstances of the founding of the party and write out the manifesto. What's the date, anyway?
The 20th, more or less.
The 20th of what?
The 20th, more or less, of February. El grito de la Floridita.
It's a solemn moment, Thomas Hudson said. Can you write, honest Lil? Can you perpetuate all this?
I can write, but I can't write right now. There are a few more problems we have to take a stand on, the Alcalde Peor said. Listen, Colossus of the North, why don't you buy this round? You've seen how valiant my credit is and how he stands up to the attack, but there's no need to kill the poor bird when we know he's losing. Come on, Colossus.
Don't call me Colossus. We're against the damn Colossus.
All right, Governor. What do you do, anyway?
I'm a scientist.
Sobre todo en la cama, Honest Lil said. He made extensive studies in China.
Well, whatever you are, buy this one, the Alcalde Peor said. And let's get on with the platform.
What about the home?
A sacred subject. The home enjoys equal dignity with religion. We must be careful and subtle. What about this? Abajo los padres de familias.
It has dignity, but why not just down with the home?
Abajo el home. It's a beautiful sentiment, but many might confuse it with baseball.
What about little children?
Suffer them to come unto me once they are of electoral age, said the Alcalde Peor.
What about divorce? Thomas Hudson asked.
Another touchy problem, the Alcalde Peor said. Bastante espinoso. How do you feel about divorce?
Perhaps we shouldn't take up divorce. It conflicts with our campaign in favor of the home.
All right, let's drop it. Now let me see.
You can't, Honest Lil said.
You're cockeyed. Don't criticize me, woman, the Alcalde Peor told her. One thing we must do.
What?
Orinar.
I agree, Thomas Hudson heard himself saying. It is basic.
As basic as the lack of the aqueduct. It is founded on water.
It's founded on alcohol.
Only a small percentage in comparison with the water. Water is the basic thing. You are a scientist. What percentage of water are we composed of?
87 3/10, said Thomas Hudson, taking a chance and knowing he was wrong.
Exactly, said the Alcalde Peor. Should we go, while we can still move?
This ends Disc 8.
In the men's room, a calm and noble Negro was reading a Rosicrucian pamphlet. He was working on the weekly lesson of the course he was taking. Thomas Hudson greeted him with dignity, and his greeting was returned in kind.
Guarda chilly day, sir, the attendant with the religious literature observed.
It is indeed chilly, Thomas Hudson said. How are your studies progressing?
Very well, sir, as well as can be expected.
I'm delighted, Thomas Hudson said. Then to the Alcalde Peor, who was having certain difficulties. I belonged to a club in London once where half the members were trying to urinate and the other half were trying to stop.
Very good, said the Alcalde Peor,
completing his chore.
What did they call it? El Club Mundial?
No, as a matter of fact, I've forgotten the name of it.
You've forgotten the name of your club?
Yes, why not?
I think we better go get another one. How much does this urination cost?
Whatever you wish, sir. Let me get them, Thomas Hudson said. I love to buy them. It's like flowers.
Could it have been the Royal Automobile Club?
The Negro asked, standing proffering a towel. It could not have been.
I'm sorry, sir, the student of Rosicrucian said. I know that's one of the biggest clubs in London.
That's right, Thomas Hudson said. One of the biggest. Now buy yourself something very handsome with this. He gave him a dollar.
Why did you give him a peso?
The Alcalde Peor asked him as they were outside the door and back to the noise of the bar, the restaurant, and the traffic on the street outside. I have no real use for it.
Hombre, the Alcalde Peor said. Are you feeling all right? Do you feel okay?
Quite, said Thomas Hudson. I'm quite okay. Thank you very much.
How was the trip?
Honest Lil asked from her stool at the bar. Thomas Hudson looked at her and saw her again for the first time. She looked considerably darker and much whiter. It was a nice trip, he said. You always meet interesting people when you travel. Honest Lil put her hand on his thigh and squeezed it, and he was looking down the bar, away from Honest Lil, past the Panama hats, the Cuban faces, and the moving dice cups of the drinkers, and out the open door into the bright light of the square, when he saw the car pull up, and the doorman opened the rear door, his cap in hand, and she got out. It was her. No one else got out of a car that way, practically and easily and beautifully, and at the same time as though she were doing the street a great favor when she stepped on it. Everyone had tried to look like her for many years, and some came quite close. But when you saw her, all the people that looked like her were only imitations. She was in uniform now, and she smiled at the doorman and asked him a question, and he answered happily and nodded his head, and she started across the sidewalk into the bar. There was another woman in uniform behind her. Thomas Hudson stood up, and he felt as though his chest was being constricted so that he could not breathe. She had seen him, and she was walking down through the gap between the people at the bar and the tables toward him. The other woman was following behind her. "Excuse me," he said to Honest Lil and the Alcalde Peor. "I have to see a friend." They met halfway down the free corridor between the bar and the tables, and he was holding her in his arms. They were both holding hard and tight as people can hold, and he was kissing her hard and well, and she was kissing him and feeling both his arms with her hands. "Oh, you, she said. "You devil," he said, "how did you get here?" "From Camagüey, of course." People were looking at them, and he picked her off her feet and held her tight against him, and kissed her once more, then put her down and took her hand and started for a table in the corner. "We can't do that here," he said. "We'll get arrested." "Let's get arrested," she said. "This is Ginny. She's my secretary." "Hi, Ginny," Thomas Hudson said. "Let's get this mad woman behind that table." Ginny was a nice, ugly girl. They were both wearing the same uniform, officers' blouses without insignia, shirts and ties, skirts, stockings, and brogues. They had overseas caps and a patch on their left shoulders he had not seen before. "Take your cap off, devil." "I'm not supposed to." "Take it off." "All right." She took it off and lifted her face and shook her hair loose and moved her head back and looked at him, and he saw the high forehead, the magic rolling line of the hair that was the same silvery ripe wheat color as always, the high cheekbones with the hollows just below them, the hollows that could always break your heart, the slightly flattened nose, and the mouth he had just left that was disarranged by the kissing, and the lovely chin and throat line. "How do I look?" "You know." "Did you ever kiss anybody in these clothes before, or scratch yourself on army buttons?"
"No."
"Do you love me?"
"I always love you."
"No, do you love me right now, this minute?"
"Yes," he said, and his throat ached.
"That's good," she said. "It would be pretty awful for you if you didn't."
"How long are you here for?"
"Just today."
"Let me kiss you.
You said we'd be arrested."
"We can wait." "What do you want to drink?"
"Do they have good champagne?"
"Yes, but there's an awfully good local drink."
"There must be. About how many of them have you had?"
"I don't know, about a dozen."
"You only look tight around the eyes. Are you in love with anyone?"
"No. You?"
"We'll have to see. Where is your bitch of a wife?"
"In the Pacific."
"I wish she was, about 1,000 fathoms deep. Oh, Tommy, 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 Tommy."
"Are you in love with anyone?"
"I'm afraid so."
"You bastard."
"Isn't it terrible? The first time I ever meet you since I went away, and you're not in love with anyone, and I'm in love with someone."
"You went away."
"That's my story."
"Is he nice?"
"He's nice, this one, like children are nice. I'm very necessary to him."
"Where is he?"
"That's a military secret."
"Is that where you're going?"
"Yes."
"What are you?"
"We're USO.
"Is that the same as OSS?
"No, Goofy, don't pretend to be stupid and don't be stuffy just because I love someone. You never consult me when you fall in love with people."
"How much do you love him?"
"I didn't say I loved him. I said I was in love with him. I won't even be in love with him today if you don't want. I'm only here for a day. I don't want not to be polite."
Go to hell, he said. How would it be if I took the car and went to the hotel? Ginny asked. No, Ginny, we're going to have some champagne first. Do you have a car? She asked Thomas Hudson. Yeah, outside on the square. Can we drive out to your place?
Of course. We can eat and then go out. Or I can pick something up for us to eat out there.
Weren't we lucky that we could get here?
Yes, Thomas Hudson said. How did you know anyone was here? A boy at the field at Camagüey told me you might be here if we didn't find you. We were going to see Havana. We can see Havana.
No, she said.
Ginny can see it. Do you know anybody who could take Ginny out?
Sure.
We have to get back to Camagüey tonight.
What time does your plane leave?
6 o'clock, I think.
We'll fix everything up, Thomas Hudson said. A man came over to the table. He was a local boy.
Pardon me, he said. May I have your autograph?
Of course.
He gave her a card with the picture of the bar on it, with Constante standing behind it making a cocktail, and she signed with the overlarge theatrical writing Thomas Hudson knew so well.
It's not for my little daughter or my son who is in school, the man said. It's for me.
Good, she said and smiled at him. You are very nice to ask me.
I've seen all of your pictures, the man said. I think you are the most beautiful woman in the world.
That's wonderful, she said. Please keep on thinking that.
Would you let me buy you a drink?
I'm drinking with a friend.
I know him,
the radio announcer said.
I've known him for many years. May I sit down, Tom? There is an extra lady here.
This is Mr. Rodriguez, Thomas Hudson said. What's your last name, Jenny?
Watson.
Miss Watson.
I am delighted to know you, Miss Watson, the radio announcer said.
He was a good-looking man, dark and tanned, with pleasant eyes, a nice smile, and the big, good hands of a ballplayer. He had been both a gambler and a ballplayer, and he had some of the good looks of the modern gambler left.
Could you all three have lunch with me? He asked.
It is nearly lunchtime now.
Mr. Hudson and I have to make a trip into the country, she said.
I'd love to have lunch with you, Jenny said. I think you're wonderful.
Is he all right? She asked Thomas Hudson.
He's a fine man, as good as you'll find in town.
Thank you very much, Tom, the man said. You are sure you won't all eat with me?
We really have to go, she said. We're late now.
Then I'll see you at the hotel, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Mr. Rodriguez.
You are really the most beautiful woman in the world, Mr. Rodriguez said. If I hadn't always known it, I know it now.
Please keep on thinking so, she said, and then they were out in the street.
Well, she said, that wasn't too bad. Ginny likes him too, and he's nice.
He is nice, Thomas Hudson said, and the chauffeur opened the door of the car for them.
You're nice, she said. I wish you hadn't had quite so many drinks, that's why I skipped the champagne. Who was your dark friend at the end of the bar?
Just my dark friend at the end of the bar.
Do you need a drink? We could stop somewhere and get one.
No, do you?
You know I never do. I'd like some wine, though.
I have wine out of the house.
That's wonderful. Now you can kiss me. They won't arrest us now.
¿A dónde vamos? The chauffeur asked, looking straight ahead.
A la finca, Thomas Hudson said.
Oh, Tommy, 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 she said. Go right ahead. It doesn't make any difference if he sees us, does it?
No, it makes no difference. You can cut his tongue out if you like.
No, I don't want to, nor nothing brutal ever. But you were nice to offer it.
It wouldn't be a bad idea.
How are you, you old love house of always? I'm the same.
Really the same?
The same as one always is. I'm yours in this town.
Until the plane leaves.
Exactly, she said, and changed her position for the better in the car. Look, she said, we've left the shining part and it's dirty and smoky. When didn't we do that?
Sometimes.
Yes, she said. Sometimes.
Then they looked at the dirty and the smoky, and her quick eyes and lovely intelligence saw everything instantly that had taken him so many years to see.
Now it gets better, she said.
She had never told him a lie in his life, and he had tried to never lie to her, but he had been quite unsuccessful.
Do you still love me? She asked. Tell me true, without adornments.
Yes. You ought to know.
I know, she said,
holding him to prove it if it could prove it. Who is the man now?
Let's not talk about him. You wouldn't care for him.
Maybe not, he said, and held her so close that it was as though something must break if both were truly serious. It was their old game, and she broke, and the break was clean.
You don't have breasts, she said, and you always win.
I don't have a face to break your heart, nor what you have and the long, lovely legs.
You have something else.
Yes, he said. Last night with a pillow and a cat making love.
I'll make up for the cat. How far is it now?
11 minutes.
That's too far the way things are now.
Should I take it from him and drive it an 8?
No, please, and remember everything I taught you about patience.
That was the most intelligent and stupid lesson I learned. Reteach it to me a little now.
Do I have to?
No, it's only 8 minutes now.
Will it be a nice place and will the bed be big?
We will have to see, Thomas Hudson said. Are you starting to have your old doubts already?
No, she said. I want a big, big bed.
To forget all about the army. There is a big bed, he said. Maybe not as big as the army.
You don't have to be rough, she said. All the beautiful ones end up showing pictures of their wives. You should know the Airbornes.
I'm glad I don't. We're a little waterlogged, but we were never waterborne, nor said so.
Can you tell me anything about it? She asked him,
her hand now soundly in his pocket.
No. You never would, and I love you for it. But I get curious, and people ask me, and I worry.
Just be curious, he said, and never worry. Don't you remember that curiosity killed the cat? I've got a cat, and he's curious enough. He thought of Boise. Then he said, but worry kills big businessmen right in their prime.
Do I have to worry about you?
Only as an actress.
Then not too much. Now it's only 2 minutes more. It's nice country now, and I like it. Can we have lunch in bed?
Can we go to sleep then, too?
Yes. It's not a sin if we don't miss the plane.
The car climbed steeply now on the old stone-paved road with the big trees on either side.
Have you anything to miss?
You, he said.
I mean duty.
Did I look as though I were on duty?
You might be. You're a wonderful actor. The worst I ever saw. I love you, my dear crazy, she said. I've seen you play all your great roles. The one I loved you the best in was when you were playing the faithful husband, and you were doing it so wonderfully, and there was a big spot of natural juices showed on your trousers, and every time you looked at me, it was bigger. That was in the Ritz, I think.
That was where I played the faithful husband best, he said, like Garrick at the Old Bailey.
You're a little confused, she said.
I think you played it best on the Normandy. When they burned her, I didn't give a damn about anything for 6 days.
That's not your record.
No, he said. They were stopped at the gate now, and the chauffeur was unlocking it.
Do we really live here?
Yes, up the hill. I'm sorry the drive's in such bad shape. The car climbed it through the mango trees and the unflowering flamboyanes, turned past the cattle sheds, and on up the circular drive to the house. He opened the door of the car and she stepped out as though conferring a warm and generous favor to the ground. She looked at the house and could see the open windows of the bedroom. They were big windows, and in some way it reminded her of the Normandy.
I'll miss the plane, she said. Why can't I be ill? All the other women are ill.
I know 2 good doctors that will swear you are.
Wonderful, she said, going up the stairs. We won't have to ask them to dinner, will we?
No, he said, opening the door. I'll call them up and send the chauffeur for the certificates.
I am ill, she said. I've decided let the troops entertain themselves for once.
You'll go.
No, I'm going to entertain you. Have you been entertained properly lately?
No.
Me either. Or is it neither? I don't know, he said, and held her close and looked in her eyes, and then away. He opened the door to the big bedroom. It's neither, he said reflectively. The windows were open and the wind was in the room, but it was pleasant now with the sun. It is like the Normandy. Did you make it like the Normandy for me? Of course, darling, he lied. What did you think? You're a worse liar than I am. I'm not even faster. Let's not lie. Let's pretend you made it for me. I made it for you, he said. Only it looked like someone else. Is that as hard as you can hold anyone? Without breaking them, then he said. Without lying down. Who is against lying down? Not me, he said, and picked her up and carried her to the bed. Let me drop the jealousy. I don't mind your entertaining the troops, but we have a radio that entertains the kitchen. They don't need us. Now, she said. Yes. Now remember everything I ever taught you. Aren't I? Now and then. Then, he said. Where did we know him? We met him. Don't you remember? Look, let's not remember anything, and let's not talk, and let's not talk, and let's not talk. Afterwards, she said, people used to get hungry even on the Normandy. I'll ring for the steward. But this steward doesn't know us. He will. No, let's go out and see the house. What have you painted? What, all nothing. Don't you have time? What do you think? But couldn't you when you're ashore? What do you mean, ashore? Tom, she said. They were in the living room now in the big old chairs, and she had taken her shoes off to feel the matting on the floor. She sat curled in the chair, and she had brushed her hair to please him and because of what she knew it did to him, and she sat so it swung like a heavy silken load when her head moved. Damn you, he said. Darling, he added. You damned me enough, she said. Let's not talk about it. Why did you marry her, Tom? Because you were in love. It wasn't a very good reason. Nobody ever said it was, especially not me. But I don't have to make my errors and repent of them and then discuss them, do I? If I want you to. The big black and white cat had come in, and he rubbed against her leg. He's got us mixed up, Thomas Hudson said. Or maybe he's getting good sense. It couldn't be. Sure. Of course. Boy, he called. The cat came over to him and jumped into his lap. It did not matter which one it was. We might as well both love her, boy. Take a good look at her. You will never see any more women's like that. Is he the one you sleep with? Yes. Is there any reason why I shouldn't? None. I like him better than the man I sleep with now, and he's just about as sad. Do we have to talk about him? No. And you don't have to pretend you haven't been at sea when your eyes are burned and there are white slit marks in the corners of them and your hair is as sun-streaked as though you used something on it. And I walk with a rolling gait and carry a parrot on my shoulder and hit people with my wooden leg. Look, darling, I go to sea occasionally because I am a painter of marine life for the Museum of Natural History. Not even war must interfere with our studies. They are sacred, she said. I'll remember that lie and stick with it. Tom, you truly don't care for her at all? Not at all. You still love me. Didn't I give any signs of it? It could have been a role, the one of the always faithful lover, no matter what whores I find you with. He hasn't been faithful to me, Sinara, in thy fashion. I always told you that you were too literate for your own good. I was through with that poem when I was 19. Yes, and I always told you that if you would paint and work at it as you should, instead of making fantasies and falling in love with other people.
Marrying them, you mean?
No, marrying them is bad enough, but you fall in love with them, and then I don't respect you.
That's that old lovely one I remember.
and then I don't respect you. I'll buy that one at any price you put on it and take it out of circulation. I respect you. And you don't love her, do you? I love you and respect you, and I don't love her. That's wonderful. I'm so glad I'm so ill and that I missed the plane. I really do respect you, you know, and I respect every damned fool thing you do or did. And you treat me wonderfully and keep all your promises. What was the last one? I don't know. If it was a promise, you broke it. Would you want to skip it, beauty? I'd like to have skipped it. Maybe we could. We skipped most things. No, that's untrue. There's visible evidence on that. But you think making love to a woman is enough. You never think about her wanting to be proud of you, nor about small tendernesses, nor about being a baby like the men you love and care for. Couldn't you be more needing and make me necessary and not be so damn give it and take it away, I'm not hungry? What did we come out here for? Moral lectures? We came out here because I love you, and I want you to be worthy of yourself, and of you and God and all other abstractions. I'm not even an abstract painter. You'd have asked Toulouse-Lautrec to keep away from brothels and Gauguin not to get the syphilis and Baudelaire to get home early. I'm not as good as they were, but the hell with you. I never was like that. Sure you were, along with your work, your goddamn hours of work. I would have given it up. Sure, I know you would. And sung in nightclubs, and I could be the bouncer. Do you remember when we planned that? What have you heard from Tom? He's fine, the man said, and felt the strange prickling go over his skin. He hasn't written me in 3 weeks. You'd think he'd write his mother. He was always so good about writing. You know how it is with kids in a war. Or maybe they're holding up all mail. Sometimes they do. Do you remember when he couldn't speak any English? And he had his gang at Gstaad? And up in the Engadine? And at Zug? Do you have any pictures of him? Only that one you have. Could we have a drink? What do you drink here? Anything you want. I'll go and find the boy. The wine is in the cellar. Please don't be gone long. That's a funny thing to say to each other. Please don't be gone long, she repeated. Did you hear it? And I never asked you to get in early. That wasn't the trouble, and you know it. I know it, he said, and I won't be gone long. Maybe the boy could make something to eat, too. Maybe he could, Thomas Hudson said. Then to the cat, you stay with her, Boise. Now, he thought, why did I say that? Why did I lie? Why did I do that breaking it gently thing? Did I want to keep my grief for myself, as Willie said? Am I that sort of guy? Well, you did it, he thought. How do you tell a mother that her boy is dead when you've just made love to her again? How do you tell yourself your boy is dead? You used to know all the answers. Answer me that. There aren't any answers. You should know that by now. There aren't any answers at all. Tom, her voice called. I'm lonely, and the cat isn't you, even though he thinks he is. Put him on the floor. The boy's gone to the village, and I'm getting ice. I don't care about the drink. Neither do I, he said, and came back into the room, walking on the tiled floor until he felt the matting. He looked at her, and she was still there. You don't want to talk about him, she said. No. Why? I think it's better. He looks too much like you. That isn't it, she said. Tell me. Is he dead? Sure. Please hold me tight. I am ill now. He felt her shaking, and he knelt by the chair and held her, and he felt her tremble. Then she said, and poor you, poor, poor you. After a time, she said, I'm sorry for everything I ever did or said. Me too.
Poor you and poor me.
Poor everybody, he said, and did not add. Poor Tom.
What can you tell me?
Nothing, just that.
I suppose we'll learn how to take it.
Maybe.
I wish I could break down, but I'm just hollow, sick.
I know.
Does it happen to everybody?
I suppose so. Anyway, it can only happen to us once.
And now it's like in a house of the dead.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you when I saw you.
That's all right, she said. You always put things off. I'm not sorry.
I wanted you so damn much, and I was selfish and stupid.
You weren't selfish. We always loved each other. We only made mistakes.
I made the worst ones.
No, we both made them. Let's not fight anymore, ever, though.
Something was happening to her, and then finally she cried and said,
Oh, Tommy, all of a sudden I just can't stand it.
I know, he said. My sweet, good, lovely beauty. I can't stand it either.
We were so young and stupid, and we were both beautiful, and Tommy was so damned beautiful.
Like his mother.
And now, there'll never be any visible evidence.
My poor, dearest love.
And what will we do?
You do what you're doing, and I'll do what I'm doing.
Couldn't we be together for a while?
Only if this wind keeps up.
Then let it blow. Do you think making love is wicked?
I don't think Tom would disapprove.
No. Surely no. Do you remember skiing with him on your shoulders? And how we'd sing coming down through the orchard behind the inn in the dusk?
I remember everything.
So do I, she said. And why were we so stupid?
We were rivals as well as lovers.
I know it, and we shouldn't have been. But you don't love anyone else, do you? Now that that's all we have?
No, truly.
I don't either, really. You think we could take each other back?
I don't know whether it would work. We could try it.
How long will the war be?
Ask the man who owns one.
Will it be years?
A couple, anyway.
Are you liable to be killed, too?
Very.
That's not good.
And if I'm not?
I don't know. Now Tom's gone, we wouldn't start being bitter and bad again?
I could try not to. I'm not bitter. And I've learned how to handle the bad.
Really? What? With whores?
I guess so. But I wouldn't need them if we were together.
You always did put things so prettily.
See, let's not start it.
No, not in the house of the dead.
You said that once.
I know, she said, I'm sorry. But I don't know how to put it any other way and mean the same thing. It started to get numb already.
It will get number, he said. Numb is as bad as at the start. But it will get number.
Will you tell me every bad thing you know about it so mine will get numb quicker?
Sure, he said. Christ, I love you.
You always did, she said. Now tell me.
He was sitting at her feet, and he did not look at her. He looked at Boise the cat, who was lying in a patch of sunlight on the matting. He was shot down by a flak ship in a routine sweep off Abbeville.
Did he bail out?
No, the kite burned. He must have been hit.
I hope he was, she said. I hope so much he was.
It's almost sure he was. He had time to bail out.
You're telling me the truth. His chute didn't burn.
No, he lied, thinking that was enough for today.
Who did you hear it from?
He told her the name of the man.
Then it's true, she said. I don't have a son anymore, and neither do you. I suppose we can learn about that. Do you know anything else?
No, he told her, as truly as possible.
And we just go on.
That's it.
With what?
With nothing, he said.
Couldn't I stay here and be with you?
I don't think it would be any good, because I have to go out as soon as the weather is possible. You never talk, and you bury anything I tell you. So bury that.
But I could be with you until then, and I could wait until you're back.
That's no good, he said. I never know when we'll be back, and it would be worse for you not working. Stay if you want until we go.
Good,
she said. I'll stay until you go, and we'll think of Tom all we want. And we'll make love as soon as you think it's right. Tommy never had anything to do with that room.
No, and I'll exorcise anyone who ever did.
Now we really should eat something and drink a glass of wine.
A bottle, she said. Wasn't Tom a lovely boy? And so funny and good.
What are you made of?
What you love, she said. And steel added.
I don't know what's become of the house boys, Thomas Hudson told her. They didn't expect me back today, but one boy is supposed to be on the telephone. I'll get the wine. It's cold now. He opened the bottle and poured two glasses. It was the good wine he saved for coming homes, after he had cooled out and it bubbled small and neat and faithfully.
Here's to us and all our mistakes and all our losses and the gains we'll make.
Made, he said.
Made, she said.
Then she said, the one thing you were always faithful to was good wine. Admirable of me, wasn't it?
I'm sorry I said it about the drinking this morning.
Those things are good for me, it's funny, but they are.
You mean what you were drinking, or the criticism?
What I was drinking, the tall frozen ones.
Maybe they are, and I don't make any criticism now except that it's awfully hard to get something to eat in this house.
Be patient. You've told me that enough times.
I'm patient, she said. I'm just hungry. I know now why people eat at wakes and before funerals.
Be as rough with it as is good for you.
Don't worry, I'll be. Are we going to go on saying we're sorry for everything? I said it once.
Listen, you, he said, I've had this thing 3 weeks longer than you, and maybe I'm in a different phase.
You'd have a different and more interesting phase, she said. I know you. Why don't you just get back to your whores?
Wouldn't you like to stop it?
No, it makes me feel better.
Who was it said, marry pity women?
Some man, she said, some bastard of a man.
Do you want to hear the whole poem?
No, and I'm tired of you already, and you knowing it 3 weeks earlier and all that. Just because I'm a non-combatant and you're in something so secret you have to sleep with a cat so you won't talk.
And you still don't see why we broke up?
We broke up because I got tired of you. You've always loved me and you couldn't help it and you can't help it now.
That's true. The houseboy was standing in the dining room. He had unavoidably seen and heard quarrels in the living room before and they made his brown face perspire with unhappiness. He loved his master and the cats and dogs, and he admired the beautiful women respectfully, and it made him feel terrible when there were quarrels. He thought that he had never seen such a beautiful woman, and the caballero was quarreling with her, and she was saying angry things to the caballero.
Señor, he said, pardon me, may I speak to you in the kitchen?
Excuse me, please, darling.
I suppose it's something mysterious, she said, and poured her glass full of wine.
Señor, the boy said, the lieutenant spoke in Castellano, and he said for you to come in immediately, repeat immediately. He said you were nowhere and that it was a business matter. I did not wish to call on our phone, and I called from the village. Then they told me you were here.
Good, said Thomas Hudson. Thank you very much. Please fry some eggs for the señorita and me, and tell the chauffeur to have the car ready.
Yes, sir,
the boy said.
What was it, Tom? She asked. Is it bad?
I have to go to work.
But you said you wouldn't have to with this wind.
I know it, but it's out of my hands. Do you want me to stay here? You can stay and read Tom's letters if you like, and the chauffeur will take you to your plane.
All right.
You can take the letters with you, too, if you want, and any pictures or anything you see, go through my desk.
You are changed.
Maybe a little, he said. Go out to the studio and look at any of the stuff, he said. There are some good ones from before we started this project. Take anything you like. There's a good one of you.
I'll take it, she said.
You're awfully good when you're good. Read the letters from her if you like. Some of them are museum pieces. Take any along that are comic enough.
You sound as though I traveled with a trunk.
You can read them and then drop them out of the john on the plane.
All right.
I'll try to get back before you go, but don't count on it. If I have to use the chauffeur, I'll send a taxi to take you to the hotel or the airport.
Good.
The boy will look after you. He can do any pressing for you, and you can use any clothes of mine or anything you find around.
Good. Will you try to love me, Tom, and not let anything like that last one ruin it?
Sure, they don't mean anything, and you pointed out I couldn't help it.
Try and not be able to help it.
It's out of my hands. Take any books you want or anything you find around the joint and give my eggs, or one anyway, to Boise. He likes them cut up small. I better shove. There's been a time lag on this already.
Goodbye, Tom, she said.
Goodbye, devil, and take good care. This is probably nothing anyway. He was gone out the door, but the cat had slipped through it with him and was looking up at him. It's all right, Boise, he said. I'll be back before we shove.
Where do we go?
The driver asked him.
Town.
I can't believe there's any business with this heavy sea, but maybe they found something. Maybe one is in trouble somewhere. Christ, I hope we make it this time. I want to remember to make out one of those pocket wills and leave her the joint. Must remember to get it witnessed at the embassy and leave it in the safe. She certainly took it awfully well, but then it hasn't really hit her yet. I wish I could help her when it hits her. I wish I could be some real good to her. Maybe I can if we get by this one and the next one and the next one. Let's get by this one first. I wonder if she'll take the stuff. I hope she will and that she'll remember to give Boise the egg. He gets hungry when the weather's cold. The boys won't be hard to find, and she can take another beating before we haul her out. One more, anyway. One for sure. We'll gamble on it. There are spares for nearly everything. What's one more beating if we get too close? It would have been nice to have stayed in. Maybe it would have been. The hell it would have been. Get it straight. Your boy, you lose. Love, you lose. Honor has been gone for a long time. Duty, you do. Sure, and what's your duty? What I said I'd do. And all the other things you said you'd do? In the bedroom of the farmhouse now, the room that looked like the Normandy, she was lying on the bed with the cat named Boise beside her. She had not been able to eat the eggs, and the champagne had no taste. She had cut up all the eggs for Boise and pulled open one desk drawer and seen the boy's handwriting on the blue envelopes and the censor stamp, and then she had gone over and lain face down on the bed.
Both of them,
she said to the cat, who was happy from the eggs and from the smell of the woman who lay beside him.
Both of them, she said. Boise, tell me, what are we going to do about it?
The cat purred imperceptibly.
You don't know either, she said, and neither does anyone else.
Thank you.